They're too smart. We do have lots of papers up here, Pastor. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and Savior, Jesus Christ. I have a tiny problem with the Ten Commandments. Not because they're wrong, and not because they're unimportant, but because sometimes you can follow or think you're following all 10 to the letter, and you still leave someone hurting. I think about a middle school lunchroom, okay? So all of you have probably been in those before. The noise, the chaos, the fragile hierarchies, and for those inside them, it can feel like just survival. I don't know, we have some middle schoolers here. And for those of us long removed, it's a memory we would not want to relive. Movies love the scenes of middle school lunchrooms or high school lunchrooms because they're dramatic. But the thing about it is for many of us, they're not fiction. They're what we've lived. Most of us can remember a table we weren't invited to. And here's the thing. You can think you're keeping all 10 commandments in that lunchroom. You may not murder, you may not steal, you may not lie, you may not commit adultery, and yet you still exclude someone. You still isolate someone. You can still let someone sit alone. Natalie Hampton tells a story of spending 2 years, two long years, I think she even has the days counted, eating lunch by herself. No one let her sit at their table. No one let them sit with her, or with her with them. And she doesn't exactly say why, so maybe the eighth commandment was broken, you know, that we should not bear false witness against our neighbor. Or maybe no commandment was technically broken at all. Maybe people just didn't like her. We don't know. But isolation has its own way of preaching lies. When she moved to a new school in ninth grade, tables opened up for her. She finally belonged, and then later at 16, she created an app called Sit With Us, where students could host open lunch tables so no one would have to sit alone. And no one would have to endure the pain she did for two long years. Her pain became a pathway for others' inclusion. It's a beautiful story. It's a wonderful story, but it's a story that should not have had to be told. Today, in the Gospel of Matthew, we hear a portion of what we all know as the Sermon on the Mount. You know, it starts with that beautiful passage of the Beatitudes. It blesses the poor in spirit, the meek, the merciful, the ones who rarely ever get blessed. And then he calls his followers to be salt and light. And then he turns the law to the law, and he says, I have a small problem with these commandments. He says something startling, Jesus says. You have heard it said, but I say to you. You have heard it said you shall not murder. But I say to you, if you even harbor anger, if you even nurse contempt, if you even diminish another person's humanity, you are already walking toward death. Can you see the theme in this whole Sermon on the Mount? It's not just do not kill. It's choose life. Jesus is not abolishing the commandments. He's deepening them. Because for so many years, people thought they were following them to the letter, and yet people were being excluded. He is saying righteousness is not about technical compliance. It's about transformed hearts. It's about a real magic trick that happens. It's about relationships restored. It's about tables widening. In Martin Luther's explanation of the fifth commandment, he writes, "We are to fear and love God so that we neither endanger nor harm lives of our neighbors, but instead help support them in all of life's needs." It's not just avoiding harm, it's helping and supporting and encouraging. And that's the shift that Jesus wants to make sure we understand. Because you can avoid breaking the technical Ten Commandments and still create what feels like a hell for someone else. Hell isn't fire and brimstone. Sometimes it's a cafeteria table where no one makes eye contact with you. And Jesus essentially in this time, in this passage, says, wake up, pay attention, guys. This is important. This matters. Because the kingdom of God isn't about bare minimum morality. It's about abundant life. And abundant life cannot grow where exclusion thrives. The late Archbishop Tutu, Desmond Tutu, gave us a word that kind of encapsulates this vision. It's Ubuntu. It means my humanity is inextricably bound in yours. It means essentially I am because we are. And after the apartheid, Tutu chaired South Africa's Truth and Reconciliation Commission. Instead of choosing revenge, he chooses restorative justice. He insists, without forgiveness, there is no future. Not because forgiveness is easy, but because cycles of exclusion and hatred destroy everyone involved. Because without forgiveness, we fester and we harbor bitterness in our hearts. And that creates exclusion. Ubuntu says, if you are diminished, I am diminished. If you are excluded, something in me shrinks too. If you hurt, I cannot stand before God pretending all is well. And that's confession and forgiveness, and it's a reason we have it at the beginning of every worship service. Because we cannot stand before God until we have confessed our sins. And this is what Jesus is getting at. Love is hard. It costs us pride. It requires curiosity instead of judgment, to quote Ted Lasso. It means welcoming someone to the table when it would be easier to stay comfortable and stay away. But you see, following the commandments was never meant to be the ceiling. It was meant to be the floor. The goal is not simply avoiding wrongdoing. The goal is to become the body of Christ here and now. To create space where no one sits alone. To choose reconciliation over retaliation. To practice forgiveness that breaks the cycle of harm. To widen tables until it looks like the kingdom of God. Because death doesn't only happen through violence. It happens through indifference, through silence, and through withheld welcome. And life? Life happens when we say, sit with us. Life happens when we choose inclusion instead of exclusion. Life happens when we live Ubuntu, when we remember that we belong to one another. The song, the more we get together, 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 the happier we'll be. But it's more than that, it's the holier we will be. The more fully alive we will be, the more clearly we will see the kingdom of God shining among us. I am, because we are. I leave you with a blessing, a command to go out in your lives, so that we may not only keep the commandments, may we embody them. May we not only avoid harm, may we actively create belonging, because we are better, truly better, when everyone has a place at the table.